Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to talk about how to live the good life.
Perfect day to do it.
Hallelujah.
Proverbs 3, 16 and 17, Proverbs 3, verses 16 and 17 in the Living Bible says this: wisdom gives, are you ready, a long good life, riches, honor, pleasure, peace. I like that.
I do too. My life, I can say our lives began to change dramatically. We started to believe God's promises.
Hallelujah.
Really, it's simple. If we believe and trust God, we will give to his work, just as the scripture teaches. Now, here's the good news of what's promised in return for our giving.
Philippians 4, verse 19. But my God, hallelujah.
Say that again.
But my God.
Say it again.
But my God.
Our God, hallelujah, your God.
Shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Now, notice this verse does not say, will supply these good things out of his riches in glory, but rather, he will supply them in accordance with his riches in glory. That means God plans to supply us according to the good things he enjoys in heaven. And, of course, we know heaven is not poverty-ridden. God's throne's not made out of wood and plaster and then threadbare upholstery. The Apostle John surely isn't describing a slum or secondhand store when he gives a description of God's riches and glory.
In Revelation 21, verses 18 through 21, it says this: and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. That's how pure that gold was. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chelonia, and the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth christophilos, the 11th a janus, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass.
Honey, you remember the story of the rich man who went to heaven and had a suitcase with him?
Yeah.
And he walked through the pearly gates, and St. Peter said, "What's in the suitcase?" The guy opened it up, and it was filled with gold bars. St. Peter looked at it, looked at him, and laughed and said, "What are you doing bringing payment up here?"
That's it. Think about that.
That's it. God enjoys good things, and he said he will supply our needs in that same fashion according to his riches and glory, as we read in Philippians 4:19. God wants you and us to have good things. Think about this. Suppose you were doing well and prospering, and your son or daughter became a partner with you. Suppose he or she pleased you by being a great worker in the family business. Would you live in a mansion in the best part of town, or allow your child to live in a cheap apartment in the slums? Would you enjoy riches, but expect your child to barely get by? Certainly not. Scripture tells us, if we as human beings how to give good gifts to our children, we can be certain that God will even give better things to us, his children.
In Luke 11:13 is what it says: if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give unto you? God does not talk about giving us small portions. The psalmist David wrote of the abundance of the Lord providing when we read Psalm 23, verses 5 and 6. Thou preparest a table, banquet, before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Hopefully everybody's beginning to grasp the desire of God. He wants us to sit at a banquet table. He wants us anointed with costly oil. He wants our cups to overflow with good things. He wants goodness and mercy in our lives.
But we have to believe him for it.
That's right. There's no talk in the Bible about things running out or running short or doing without or not having enough. God talks about abundance. He talks about always abounding in magnificent things that he's created for us. And know this, a half-truth will not set you free. Only the whole truth will set you free. Most Christians only know half-truths. They know Jesus commanded us to give up all we have and follow him. That's good teaching. I teach that. We teach that. But there's a second part to that truth. And only when you understand the second part will you really be set free. Jesus did say to give up all and follow him. But he also said that he'll give back a hundredfold here and now in this lifetime.
In Mark 10, verses 29 and 30, Mark 10, 29 and 30, it says this, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the world to come, eternal life." You know, honey, a lot of times most people turn back when they hear the word persecution. When somebody comes against you, they want to go back where it's safe. But if you stick it out and go through it and trust God, great abundance can be yours.
When you stay in God's presence, when you stay in his word, when you stay in obedience, that's where it's safe.
Mm.
That's where it's safe.
That's the safest place.
That's those two verses you just read.
Mm.
If you understood and heard what Beth said, you need to read it for yourself, Mark 10, 29 and 30. That's it. You will receive a hundredfold now in this time. Not after you die and go to heaven, now. Jesus wants to give you all you have for him, not only so he can give it back to you. God does not want you poor and homeless or without family. He wants you to give up those things only so he can multiply them back to you. Giving up everything doesn't necessarily call for deeding your property to the church. It does mean giving God control of all your possessions. Very seldom have I ever heard of God asking anyone to sell everything and give to his work. But sometimes he may, and he has. Listen, when we release everything to the Lord, he promises to return it to us all, to us, abundantly. That promise is from Mark 10, 29 and 30. God made the promise. Now he's waiting for people to grasp his mentality in relation to abundance and to stop being cheated out of what is potentially theirs.
You know, when you release control of your possessions to the Lord, you're not really giving up anything. You're literally sowing it into the future. If you read Mark 10, verses 29 and 30 again, you'll see it deals with things we understand, houses, lands, and families. We don't need to turn a deaf ear to what God wants us to hear in this message. And certainly don't let the enemy lie to you, Satan, the devil himself, even one more day by telling you that it is holy to be poor and without anything. In the deepest sense, to be poor, it means to be powerless. If the devil can keep the saints trembling in shoes full of holes, living in rundown houses, barely able to make their bills and buy groceries, he can definitely stop the spread of the gospel to the world. Every soul-winning ministry, evangelist, Christian writer, teacher, needs money to carry on an effective gospel outreach. So you can see why the enemy, the devil himself, wants to keep the saints poor. God does not talk about a poverty gospel in Mark 10, 29 and 30, nor does he talk only about religious things. He talks about things that we know about, houses and lands, where we live. God wants us to release everything into his control, not so that you'll be poor, but so that he can make you far richer than you were before. That is God's way of preparing you for your dynamic part in the financing of his great end time harvest.
So how do we get the good life going? Before we can really live the good life, we must focus on the spiritual. The scripture tells us in Luke 12, 22 and 23, Luke 12, 22 and 23, it says, "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment." God wants us to eat. He wants to have us to have fine clothes. He doesn't want us to be anxious for them. Don't follow after them. Don't make them the Lord of your life. We have to keep our priorities straight. Luke 12:31, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Your life is more than food and drink, a nice house, vacation. Your good life starts here now. Hear us now. Your good life starts when you seek first God's kingdom and God's way of doing things. When we literally put God's kingdom first and begin to live totally in Christ, understanding we're God's temple, we can have nice clothes, a good car, and a beautiful home. All of these things will be added to us, but it's a matter of priority. God says the good life is our portion.
In Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 and 19, Ecclesiastes 5, verses 18 and 19, it says, "Behold that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. For it is his portion, every man also, to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God."
God does not want you, me, us. He does not want us deprived of the things we need to live and live abundantly. But he wants us to seek him first, and then all the other things be added unto us. And that is, honey, how we experience the good life.
The good life.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well,
hey.
Yeah.
You excited?
I am. I'm
fired
up.
We have been working on
Sunday Night Live.
Yep.
Make plans to join us at 6 p.m. Eastern. Just go to heraldherring.com, click the button that says "Join Harold and Bev." You'll be blessed.
It's going to be good.
It is. You'll be blessed. And go to heraldherring.com now. Check out this week's 2-minute video if you haven't done so already. And if you've been blessed by the teaching, just ask God what seed he'd have you sow. That's all we ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
And tonight at 6 p.m. And after church, if you're listening before church.
Yep.
Have a great Sunday, and we'll see you tonight at 6. Happy trails, and keep thinking rich thoughts.
We love you. Bye-bye.